Rape victims face assault blame. In court, you might have heard something like this: like a spider, she drew him into her web. That sounds like what kind of criminal, in your opinion? An assassin? A scammer? No, this was stated by a lawyer who attempted to defend an 11-year-old girl against a man who had sexually assaulted her. Regretfully, such kind of argument frequently wins over in social settings as well as legal proceedings. Rape victims are frequently subjected to slut-shaming, as if they were to blame for the crime. In this specific instance, which took place in Cleveland, Texas in 2010, more than one male sexually assaulted an 11-year-old child. Several males repeatedly gang-raped her. The perpetrators came back to her multiple times. You could assume that the men would be swiftly found guilty in this case due to its obviousness. However, since the girl dared to wear makeup, it wasn't. It was horrible that she was Latina. Sadly, these elements were misinterpreted and applied to put her at fault. Furthermore, defense lawyers are not the only ones who think in this way. In many rape instances, the offenders are portrayed as the victims. While reporting on the Cleveland gang rape for the New York Times, James McKinley observed that while many in the community were startled by the event, they were less shocked by the tragic outcome for the girl. The men's having been seduced into acting in such a way astounded them. Many were worried that the guys would be affected by the case for the rest of their lives. Although those viewpoints may sound ridiculous, they weren't always there. They are the outcome of the society in which we reside. Rape culture normalizes sexual violence, absolves offenders, and places the blame on victims. Women deserve freedom without fear of rape. From a young age, girls receive a list of safety rules: don't go out alone at night. Avoid talking to strangers. Be modest in your clothing. But should it be up to girls and women to prevent rape? Some people seem to think so. Even the police often tell women to limit their movements after a rape occurs. In Minneapolis, during a spate of rape cases in 2012, they advised women to stay close to others and be on high alert. But the truth is, being cautious won't always protect you from a determined attacker. And when we put the burden of prevention on victims, it's easier to blame them if the worst happens. Imagine this: a 33-year-old woman named Jane Doe left a club one early morning. Worried about a strange man following her, she called her friend Sheila. The man stole Jane's phone and coat, then vanished. Jane kept moving towards home but soon noticed the man was back, following her onto the bus. She got off near her house, hoping to escape. Later, Sheila's husband found Jane on the street, but it was too late. She had been raped. Shockingly, some reports suggested Jane was partly to blame because she didn't stay on the bus or tell the driver about her fears. This is unfair. No one should be held responsible for their assault just because they try to get to safety. Rape culture fuels gang rape. Picture this: in a classroom, kids often target one student, forming a tight-knit group against the outsider. But sometimes, this cruelty takes an even darker turn: gang rape. It's like a twisted ritual that binds the rapists together, all at the victim's expense. Back in 1991, anthropologist Peggy Reeves Sande delved into this chilling phenomenon. Her conclusion? Gang rape isn't just about violence, it's about men asserting their male identity, creating secret bonds, and seeking peer approval. Journalist Bernard Lefkowitz noted that in the 1989 gang rape of a disabled girl, the assault also allowed the males to emotionally remove themselves from women, avoiding any doubts regarding their sexual competence or capacity for close relationships. Not all victims of gang rape are female, either. Men viewed as outsiders or as too feminine can also be among them. In 2012, during a school trip to a wrestling tournament, a horrifying incident unfolded on a bus. Three older boys bound a 13-year-old boy with duct tape and assaulted him with a pencil. But this wasn't an isolated event. Sadly, some groups of boys celebrate their power through violent and perverse acts. The community rallied behind the perpetrators, leaving the victim and his family to bear the burden. This incident sheds light on the deeply entrenched issue of rape culture. Police worsen rape culture by doubting victims. Imagine being a woman who has just experienced rape. To report it, you have to describe the incident to another male authority figure. It's no surprise many rape victims choose to stay silent. Even when they do seek help from the police, they often encounter unhelpful responses, or their allegations are not taken seriously. This was evident in 2010 after a star football player named Ben Roethlisberger took some college girls to a VIP room at a club. After getting them drunk, he took one of them into a back room. 10 minutes later, she emerged in tears, alleging he had assaulted her. The girl and her friends reported the incident to the police, but Sergeant Jerry Blash did little to assist. He claimed her memory couldn't be trusted because she was drunk, casting doubt on her statement that she had been violated. Even police officers, influenced by rape culture, sometimes side with the perpetrators. When Sergeant Blash arrived to investigate the party, he immediately treated the rape victim poorly, even calling her a crazy bitch. He accused her of lying and apologized to her attacker for having to look into the matter, but filed a report nonetheless. Other officers concluded the girl had fabricated the story because her attacker wasn't paying attention to her. Feeling betrayed by the police, the victim decided not to press charges. Eventually, when the case gained public attention, Sergeant Blash resigned from his position. Prosecutors are wary of trying rape cases. Have you seen those intense courtroom scenes on TV where defense attorneys demand proof to convict someone? That frequently occurs in such rape cases. Proving rape is tough. According to the latest National Crime Victimization Survey, only 12% of rapists get arrested. Since many rapes go unreported, very few cases even reach prosecutors. According to a 2014 report from the White House Counsel, most rape cases face significant challenges in court. 2/3 of cases brought to prosecutors are dismissed, often against the victim's wishes. Only 12% of cases make it to a prosecutor, and half of those are later dismissed. Overall, just 6% of rapists go to trial. Prosecutors are hesitant to pursue cases due to doubts about convincing juries without strong evidence like video footage or serious victim injuries. This reluctance stems from the common blame placed on rape victims during trials. A study conducted by the Vera Institute for Justice in 2012 found that in the American criminal justice system, proving guilt can be extremely challenging. The prosecution must convince jurors, many of whom may hold biases against women they perceive as slutty. These biases often lead to victim blaming, where the victim of a crime like rape is unfairly judged or blamed for what happened to them. Anti-abortionists twist to validate legitimate rape. A 16-year-old girl is repeatedly raped by her father in the critically acclaimed 2009 movie Precious, which results in 2 unintended pregnancies. Even in this case, some anti-abortion advocates maintain that a woman shouldn't be permitted to get an abortion. Even more radical U.S. Republicans think that a woman cannot have been raped if she becomes pregnant. They contend that if a woman decides she doesn't want to have a kid with a specific partner, her body has biological mechanisms that stop sperm from fertilizing an egg. This type of womb shielding is also observed in some other species. Like ducks, they have evolved physical defenses against unwanted sexual advances. Female ducks have corkscrew-shaped vaginas that can block unwanted penetration and even lead unwanted sperm into dead-end pathways. Humans, however, lack these biological mechanisms. Despite this, there are extreme beliefs that suggest certain rapes are good if they result in pregnancy. This twisted logic implies that if a woman becomes pregnant from rape, she must have secretly desired it or her body would have somehow prevented the pregnancy. In 1999, John Wilkie, a former obstetrician, claimed in an essay that emotional trauma from a real rape would prevent a woman from ovulating, making it highly unlikely for her to get pregnant. According to him, only 1 or 2 out of 1,000 real rape victims could become pregnant. However, the American College of Gynecologists disagrees. They state that around 50 out of 1,000 rape cases result in pregnancy. Biology shows that women cannot control whether they conceive during rape. Pregnancy should not determine what defines rape, the crucial factor is whether both people consented to sex. Media promotes rape culture. There's a vast amount of porn online. Many clips depict a person who appears completely passive, enduring sexual acts. This itself can be seen as a form of rape. It's not just porn that normalizes sexual violence, though. Mainstream media also plays a significant role. In a 2008 episode of Mad Men, actress Christina Hendricks, who played Joan Holloway, was surprised by how many viewers didn't recognize a crucial scene as rape. In the episode, Joan's boyfriend, Greg, forces himself on her despite her protests. He holds her down while she repeatedly tells him to stop. Despite this clear refusal, many viewers referred to the incident as Joan being raped, using quotation marks with their fingers. Hendrix couldn't understand how anyone could interpret the scene as anything other than rape. Tyler Perry's 2013 film, Temptation, Confessions of a Marriage Counselor, tells the story of Judith, a counselor who faces unwanted advances from a client. When he becomes physically aggressive, Judith tries to resist, but he overpowers her. Surprisingly, the storyline takes a disturbing turn. Judith ends up dating her assailant, enduring continued mistreatment. The film was even vetted by a group of 100 pastors before its release, with the majority endorsing its portrayal. New views on healthy sex gain support. In today's culture, asking for permission before kissing, touching, or getting intimate might seem unusual to some. However, it's increasingly seen as a fundamental aspect of respect and kindness. Instead of just focusing on no means no, which has been the mantra of past feminist movements, progressive communities are shifting towards a more positive approach. Yes means yes. This means both partners actively agree to every step of intimacy for it to be truly consensual. In September 2014, California passed a law that offers financial aid to colleges if they adopt a new standard for sexual conduct education. Under this law, both partners must ensure that the other agrees to every sexual activity. This consent must be ongoing and can be withdrawn at any time. Media outlets, including the popular show The Mindy Project, have started to highlight these changes. For instance, the show portrayed a scene depicting consensual sex, adhering to these new guidelines. During sex, Mindy tells Danny, "That doesn't go there." Danny claims it was an accident, but they discuss it. Danny apologizes and they agree to always ask before trying something new. Mindy withdrew her consent, Danny stopped, and they talked it out. If this was the norm, it would make rape much harder to get away with. Key points 1. Victim-blaming attitudes persist in legal and social contexts after rape incidents. 2. Police responses often discourage victims from reporting assaults due to skepticism and blame. 3. Media can misrepresent rape, perpetuating harmful stereotypes and trivializing the crime. 4. Prosecutors face challenges in convicting rapists, often due to societal biases and lack of evidence. 5. Consent education emphasizes clear communication and mutual respect in sexual interactions. 6. Cultural shifts towards affirmative consent aim to prevent misunderstandings and promote healthy sexual boundaries.